Morning. As I stand before you in another Sunday morning, there are multiple reasons to show the world is still in chaos, and we're going through a particular crazy time in world history, in Jewish history. In the Jewish world, in the past 24 hours, Rahman al-Islam, there are two Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael who Nifter. One was Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal, who was the Reshiva, the Brisker Yeshiva, the last son of the Brisker Rav, and as well as Rav Yitzchak Shiner, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Kamenetz Yeshiva. It's dumb just to realize the two Gedolim that Kadosh Baruch Hu tied together in their passing. One was Chodem Mishalash Al-Nahiri Natek, was talking about the Soloveitchik dynasty, which is probably the greatest dynasty in modern Jewish history, of generation of generation, Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshivas, Gedolim. David Soloveitchik, his father, the Brisker Rav, his father, Chaim Brisker, his father, Yosef Dov Halevi, the Beis Halevi. Such tremendous Torah malchus. Same time, as Nifter the same day, Kamat the same age, was Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, who grew up in America. He fondly told me multiple times, I heard him proudly speak that he went to public school in Pittsburgh, and ended up learning and becoming a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham Adam Gadol. Two paths to Torah. One through Brisk, the house of the Soloveitchiks, and one through public school in America. But they end up in the same place. Very inspiring lives. And Rahman al-Islam, they both were taken within a day in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Same time you see in America, the world is just going bonkers. The stock market, different things are just nothing so stable. Perhaps I started looking into giving a share on the topic next week of this of short sales. So perhaps tune in next week for that. But we have to be mispalel that Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing an end to all this craziness. COVID is still doing a lot of damage in many places, particularly right now in Eretz Yisrael. Jews in Canada are very stifled. And even though here in Florida you see many people on vacation, and the world looks like it's going on, but we have to be cognizant that there's a lot going on, but not the norm. So on the topic, of being cognizant of what's going on in the world, I think today's share, though, the average firm person might say, what does tattoos and the mikvah have to do with me? I live in New York. I live in a big Jewish community. We don't have that. We'll see soon how relevant it is. And different shirim you see from people's reaction, right? Someone called me Friday afternoon by the supermarket, all excited about a share on tattoos. I told them they shouldn't get one so quickly. But today's share, we hope to deal with tattoos. We'll get to tattoos, legabe the halachas of mikvah and chatzitza. But it's interesting, here in America, in the past few decades, probably even better said, the past couple of decades, decade and a half, there's been a tremendous upsurge in America of people getting tattoos. You see it, you see people in the street, sports players now adorn themselves with tattoos, all different elements in society. It's very in the Goyish world for people to have tattoos. So I did a little research. It's clear you see it on the street. But how popular are tattoos? So I found the stats that right now, this is a survey taken 5 years ago, less than 5 years ago, 29% of people surveyed, people living in America, 29% have tattoos. That's a tremendously, one-third, basically. One-third of Americans have tattoos. And if you zero in which part of the population is that growth spurt in these tattoos so much, it's quite fascinating to see. The millennials, those who turned of age at the beginning of this century, the millennials. So that generation dropped older than the millennials. I'm not a millennial officially, according to the stats. But that generation, the numbers are staggering. 47% of millennials in America today have tattoos. And it shows a lot, talk about Niskat Noa Doros, the difference in generations. Of course, when I was a kid growing up, there always were people, you know, a truck driver, this person had tattoos, but you didn't usually see, like I was just by a nice restaurant the other day, and there was no qualms that the waiter, the server, had two arms loaded in tattoos. You know, when I was growing up, you couldn't get a job like that. And if you had tattoos in your arm, you had to cover them up. But now it's so parut, it's so hefker. Yeah, everyone and anyone, 47% of millennials have tattoos. Talk about stocks. If you want to invest in something, I saw a trend. The companies involved in tattoo removal services are growing at a tremendous pace. The stats I saw, annually, these companies are growing 18%. So that's a place you could, Harvey, if you want to invest your money, Alan, here's a spot, tattoo removal services. You know, it comes with the territory. People get tattoos, they get it for all silly reasons. A guy has a tattoo of his old girlfriend, and now that she's no longer, probably wants it removed, his current friend would not like to see that. And tattoos is this thing, you know, people regret it. And thus, if the tattoos are growing so much in America, with it, tattoo removal services are also skyrocketing and growing. But we could laugh about it, we could joke about it, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky would say over a famous saying in Yiddish, I don't do the Yiddish justice, but it's not my mama lashon. My mother speaks it, but I understand it. I don't speak it as well, so not to deliver a punchline in it. But basically, Rabbi Yaakov said that what's happening by the Goyim eventually is going to filter in and happen by us too. Is Rachman Nitzlan, if tattoos are growing at a tremendous rate in the secular outside society to the Jewish world, unfortunately, and I've heard of cases that it's growing within lighter within our Jewish people too. And even though it's an Isser, as we'll soon see, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of Isserim that people, especially people whose Yiddishkeit is not on the up but it's on the going down, people identify, unfortunately, want to identify with that culture, subculture, and tattoos are on the rise, mistama, in the firm world too. And thus, it's an important topic in general to deal with the issue of tattoos, which I will touch on a little bit today, share. But we also want to specifically focus on tattoos and the mikvah. Now, before I begin to delve into tattoos, just lay out ahead of time some potential issues. Firstly, Okay, so we'll talk about the isser of having a tattoo. But what about tattoos which are not permanent? All right, is one allowed to have a non-permanent tattoo? Now, I'm not just talking about someone who's, you know, getting something on his arm. It seems, I'm not such a bucky in this, but I did a little research, that it's become somewhat popular treatment that some women are into. Why should you apply makeup every day? You could have a permanent makeup. Pigmation is a process where they could inject a dye, a pigment, like just like makeup, into a person's eyelashes, eyelids, lips, different parts of one's body. And thus, they don't have to go through the process of putting on makeup. Naturally, the makeup will be there all the time. Is that allowed al pi halacha? What do we say about that? Another case. Again, I'm not the biggest bucky in this, but I believe it's popular among Sfardim, different types. But there's a concept of a henna, of a ritual that people have before they get married, girls have, and they put some type of marking on one's hand, I believe. And, you know, the custom might go back for a long time, generations, in maybe the Syrian sect of Judaism. Is that something that's allowed? Why should it be allowed? Is it proper? You know, even the simple thing, person, you know, in my days, nowadays, you know, it's very easy. As long as you have a smartphone, any phone, you know, someone gives you a number, just type the number into your phone. But in the olden days, you know, so you needed a number, a person could take out a pen and start writing information on their hands. You see this sometimes, even by doctors. They're taking quick vitals. They'll just, no paper, they'll just write in their hand the numbers. A nurse. Is that allowed? That also a problem. We'll touch on the ideas of a mikvah. Can one be tovel in the mikvah with tattoos? You know, applies to women, applies to men. I was recently thinking, there's a famous basketball player. Recently, it was McGuire. Mr. used to be called Amari Stoudemire. I think he adopted the name Yehoshaphat. Big NBA star. He's actually currently an NBA assistant coach. And he became Jewish. He actually was McGuire by a Bezdin in Bnei Brak. But anyone who's seen the pictures, unless he got it surgically removed, but posh pshat not, Mr. Stoudemire, like most NBA players, basketball players, has tattoos all over his body. Hey, in Bnei Brak, they let him be McGuire in the mikvah. Did they make him remove his tattoos? Did that work? Okay, so we'll see. Hope to get through all these individual halachas. Just as an aside before I begin, it's one of the most fascinating things. The Shulchan Aruch does talk a little bit about Hilchos tattoos. We'll see soon. Ferisha Isra in the Torah. But there's not such an Arichos. There's very, very little written about it. And the defining source of halachas about tattoos is a kuntres, is a sefer called Shegen HaKsav. And the sefer, it's part of Siach HaSada, the sefer Shegen HaKsav is written by none other than Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So this is like just another example of how amazing Torah scholarship the Ar Gedolim are. Here you have Reb Chaim Kanievsky sitting in his Dal Ramos in Bnei Brak. but he's holding in all these forms of tattoos, you know, straight out of the freak show in Coney Island. That, you know, goes through the halacha. The halacha, Baruch Hashem, covers so many cases. And the authority on tattoos is not some Italian guy in a shop, you know, in Bensonhurst. Rather, it's Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak. So we'll get to, Baruch Hashem, quote some things from his sefer. So just to begin, first we'll go through tattoos, and then slowly we'll get to Hilchos Mikvah and Chatzitzas. So the Torah writes, top of your sheets, Parshas Kedoshim, Perek, Yates, Pasuk Chavches, Ksoves Kaka L'Sitnu B'chem. Torah says you should not put Ksovas Kaka. Those are the two words the Torah uses for what we call in the vernacular a tattoo. L'Sitnu B'chem, you shouldn't put in you Ani Hashem. Zokt Rashi, Ksovas Kaka, Ksava Mechuka Fishakua She'en Nimchok Al Olam. It's a ksav that's etched in, that's not erased forever. Shemekakeya b'mechet, that's chiseled in with a needle. V'ham mashkil olam, and this ksav is darkened, is there forever. That's how Rashi translates the pasuk, ksovas kaka lo sitnu b'chem. Interesting. The Mefarshim point out that from the fact that Torah used two words, ksovas kaka, and Rashi, you see here, already is describing two elements. Number one is your inking, but it's not enough just to ink. You're also, the Lashon is, it's a ksav, which is shakua. Shakur b'mechet brings a lashon like the vuhuka or some, like I believe the pegs of the Mishkan. You stick it in there. So in order to be over the Isser D'oraisa of a tattoo, you need two things. The tattoo has to be, okay, ink on your skin, but it's deeper than that. It has to be etched in. You have to be a scratch and an etching. And that's what goes on in the tattoo parlor. They insert a needle deep into the skin, below the basic level of the skin. They inject the pigment, and therefore the pigment, which is a layer deep into the skin, is able to be seen on the top layer of the skin. So in order to be over the Isser D'oraisa of a tattoo, you need to have both. Now, right off the bat, what happens if you only have one? Pashtus, that would not be the Isser D'oraisa. And in fact, if you look, let's see, Tosos in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about the funny case. You know, the Gemara gives you funny cases, and you never know what halachas you derive from them. The Gemara is talking about, you have an Eved, and unfortunately, you know, Avadim, those are like the lower levels of society, those are always the first to be the ones with tattoos. And throughout history. And the Gemara talks about a case of where you want to free an Eved. So instead of writing a regular document, here's your get shichrur that would allow for this Eved to be free. Instead, the Gemara finds a case of where they wrote on the hand of an Eved his get shichrur. They tattooed, seemingly onto his arm, a get. You are now a free man. You see sometimes people with so much ink on them, there's like, you know, you could have books written on them. There's so much, you know, every inch covered. So they wrote a get on this person's arm, this person's body. So Tosfos talks about that case. He writes, also on your sheets, second Mar Malkum, Ksovas Kaka, Midarais Alaka Yisura Asha Yichtav Yakakea B'Ayo Uva Kolchol. Midaraisa, there's no Isser unless you write and you sink it in with ink, with dye. Kitnam Per Gimel de Makos, brings from the Gemara Makos, and happens to be Urib Shimon and Echayev Afil Kosovik Okea Asha Yichtav is a shame. Pay his shame of Odazark and the Farish also the Gemara. There is an opinion there of Reb Shimon that the Isser of tattoos is limited only to tattoos of Avodah Zarah. Now, Lamaisa, that's not the opinion necessarily we go with, Rechoshesh for the other Shita, that it's regardless of whether or not it's for Avodah Zarah or not, any tattoo, you tattoo your favorite team, you know, a heart for mom, Mother's Day, any of these would be an Isser D'oraisa. But Tosfos continues, Umiyu, Isur D'Rabbanan Ika, Hacha, there would be an Isser D'Rabbanan, even if you don't, I guess we'll see soon, don't do both. Da'afil Afar Makla, even they would have some burnt lead, also Litin Agabi Makoso, be also to put on one's wound. It seems that was some olden day process to heal people. They would put burnt lead on a wound. Neshinira kiksovas kaka. That would be also because it looks like a tattoo. Feel ave hacha isser d'oraisa mikomokim have get. And even if a person violated this isser d'oraisa by chiseling in and writing on the hand of an eved, nevertheless it would be a get. Even though, and they bring a raya from another case of a kasava of the surah na. So even though you're not allowed to do that, but so goes so, it's a valid get. One doesn't take away from the other. So what seems from Tosfos seems to say that there's also a concept of an Isser D'Rabbanan of tattoos. What's the Isser D'Rabbanan of tattoos? Sounds like, we'll see, that, okay, maybe just one D'oraisa, you need both. You need to etch it in, and you also need to dye it. But let's say you only etch it in, or let's say you only dye it. Perhaps, then that would work. That would also be an Isser, that would also be Asr, be Asr Madrabana. Now, this is going to be somewhat of a dispute. In the case of where you only have one, the Mefarshim debate is either one alone good enough, sufficient to make an Isser D'Rabbanan, or maybe one of these cases, maybe if you chisel it into your arm without the ink, you scratch it in, you put a needle in, you just don't fill in the pigment, but you have the outline of the picture. That'll be also Isser D'Rabbanan. But if you put ink on yourself, but without chiseling it in, maybe that wouldn't be an Isser D'Rabbanan. There is a debate amongst the Achronim, and really it becomes a debate, how do you understand this Tosfos? So let's see that debate, because that we'll see will have major halachic ramifications. The Minchas Chinuch talks about this topic, Mishnah in Mitzvah Reish Nun Gimel, the Parshas Kedoshim, the Isser of having tattoos. So he writes, he named Kakea v'lo Kasav. He says first from the Lashon Potter near the Isura. He writes, "V'ayim betoses gittin." Skipping a little bit, quotes our toast that we just read. Kalsavini get sham demuki hashas b'kasovas kaka. Someone tattooed a get on his eved. Then ksav she'inu yochel limchok, a ksav which you can't erase. Nir medivrayim de ikki yisurim de rabbanon. So the Minchas Chinuch is understanding, if you have the ink without the needle digging in, that would also be an Isser Darabanan. V'chein kasa v'beis Shmuel, da'afilu kasa v'lo kaka, havi Yisur Darabanan. The Beis Shmuel in Shulchan Aruch clearly says, if you put ink there without etching in, if you etch in, sounds like for sure that'll be a problem. That'll be an Isser Darabanan. But the Minchas Chinuch himself is saying, even the opposite, you ink it, but without etching it in, that would be also midrabanan. But Sarachim Bezeh, Minchas Chinuch is wondered by that. The Lefizeh also lichtav abesar reshima, you can't write any list or something on one's body. If anything is going to be ulcer, then that's a problem. So it sounds like the Minchas Chinuch is interpreting this Tosos that just having some type of tattoo where you have the ink without the permanent etching in, that would be a problem. But many later Achronim challenge this Minchas Chinuch. The Shevet HaLevi, Vosner, challenges him. He says, it's not Mukhrach and Tosos. How do you know Tosos is talking about that case? Maybe Tosos is only talking about a case of where it's etched in by itself. But maybe if it just died without the etching, that would not be also Midrabanan. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in the Sefer that he wrote, most of the Svarim we have from Reb Chaim Kanievsky are people writing over things from him. But this is a Sefer he wrote decades ago on tattoos. If you look on the bottom left hand of your sheets, he writes, Aval betseva agavi besaro, rosirat. Let's say you have this dye on your body, but you didn't etch it in. Ein shum raya da'asim rabbanan. There's no clear raya that such a case would be asim rabbanan. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch. And another say for a castle of Dasatos is Gamze Asim Rabbanan. He says, the Minchas Chinuch says himself, there's a tzad to be make off. The ksav doesn't last, which we'll see soon. You know, you write in pen, that's not a ksav that's going to last. So, but if it would be an ink which would last, the Minchas Chinuch himself does say it's Asir. But Reb Chaim is writing, there's no clear raya to that. Then he writes, "Venira dafilu nachmir kidivrayim shall licht of klal besar b'dayol chiyagavna." Even if you're going to tell me you shouldn't write on your body, you want to be machmir at the Minchas Chinuch, but kol makom aritzipurin bivadei in lahachmir. Right? If you get a permanent, nail polish, you don't have to do it every day. It's permanent. So nails are not considered the same din of basar in terms of a tattoo as the rest of one's body. And therefore, on one's nails, Reb Chaim says, for sure, you don't have to be machmer, because there is no iser. And then he writes further, of our rots lahakal b'chol ksiva al-basaro. Someone wants to be maker with any ksiva on one's body. Im eino ksav hamiskayim, if it's not a ksav that's going to last, you could definitely have who to be somechan, and the velt is make all of that. Okay. Now, so it comes out, it seems, the following halachas. If it's a real full-fledged tattoo, okay, that's a pashup shot, that's a full-fledged Isser D'oraisa. For the record, the Isser D'oraisa is not just an Isser on the person getting the tattoo. There also would be an Isser on the person giving the tattoo. You're not allowed to give a tattoo to somebody, similar to the halachas of, let's say, cutting payas. the isser would be on the person who got his payas chopped off and the barber, assuming they're both Jewish. When it comes, though, to if you etch something in without the ink being applied, that's for sure an isser derabanan. The reverse case, if there's a dye there, but there's no etching, then it's debatable, is there an isser derabanan? The Minchas Chinuch for sure says there is, though many others challenge him, he has no raya from Tosfos, it's not clear. And it seems Reb Chaim Kanievsky was willing to be makel, for sure in a case where it's not going to last, he would be makel. But, so, first off, the easiest thing to paskin is just to write on one's body. You know, a doctor wants to write down a quick note on one's body. It might be a little weird, it may not be, some people might give you a face, but halacha-wise, there's no isser whatsoever of tattoos. I saw that the famous Dr. Abraham, in his Sefer Nishmas Avram, said Rosh Shlomo Zalman told him to favorish. There's no problem of him writing on his hand. It's a doctor, anything. Okay? What about permanent makeup that we spoke about before? Okay, let me address permanent makeup. I see we have a question here for Rabbi Berger. But permanent makeup, most modern-day poskim are machmer against. I saw it brought from Rabbi Yashov, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, people quoted Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, that permanent makeup, one should be machmer. Now, you see here, it's clear, Menachas Chinuch would say that it's aser. It's not so clear to me that Chaim Kanievsky himself holds that it's also from what he writes here. Unless you tell me he's only writing this to be makeup away, it's not really lasting. Now, permanent makeup, the way I understand it, is it has to be reapplied. It's not really permanent. It has to be reapplied every 3 to 5 years. So that's not forever. So similarly, I thought Reb Chaim would be makeup on it, but that's a. But most modern-day poskim are still machmer on it. And though the cases, though, I did find that they would be makel, is like a tzarek gadol. Let's say, chas v'shalom, a woman has like some wound on her body. And the best way to deal with the situation is to apply some permanent-type makeup. So there you found poskim that are makel. Because that's not just a regular situation of just doing it for beauty. They're doing it to cover the brios. They're embarrassed. There's a scar that they have there. So that there are poskim that were makel in such. I believe Zilberstein was makel in such a scenario. Maybe Menachas Usher was. But in regular cases, it looks like most poskim are machmer. I did find Rebbe Vadya, Sefer Taras Habayis, Hilchos Nida, Chelek Gimel, is makel on permanent makeup. And L'chara we see from Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky writes, there is Yishami Lismuch, there is what to base that on. Now that's all in terms of this permanent makeup. Of what I understand, this henna tattoo, which is even less than that. It's something that's not going to last forever. It's definitely not going to last for a couple years, my understanding. I believe there you do find for sure Rebbe Vadya will be matred for them, but be matred for his people. But it seems in general, it could be Rebbe Chaim with matred too. It's something that's not going to last, and something like that would be permitted. No, it's interesting. You know, the big, another nafkamina for this year. I got to be careful, but it's coming close to Purim. Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. So you sometimes see people dress up as pirates. maybe gangsters, bikers. Nowadays, you could dress up like a regular American with a tattoo, based on our stats. So someone who wants to have some fake tattoo, some non-permanent tattoo, really doesn't look so Jewish. But sometimes people on perm don't get dressed up not to look so Jewish. Halakhically, there's definitely something that's not going to last. There definitely is room for people to be makel, maker adin. I saw an interesting discussion. What about removing tattoos? You know, people have tattoos and they're embarrassed about it. So is one allowed to remove tattoos? So I saw multiple poskim talked about it. It's not so simple. I believe the quote of Rabbi Yashav that a person's not allowed to harm themselves. And really the process of removing a tattoo is a harmful thing. And may not be so simple that one could do that. If it's tremendous agmas nefesh and tsar, you know, one could remove it. But in general, poskim are not so quick to give heterim to remove tattoos. I saw there's an interesting shayla. People after the war, after World War II, after the Holocaust, asked Nazis, Yimach Shemam, as we all know, tattooed those arms with every Jew's number. Is one allowed to take off those tattoos? So Ephraim Oshrei, the famous Rav, who through the Holocaust answered many shaylos, wrote a famous set of svarim, Shal Tshuvas Mimamakim, from the depths of the Holocaust, dealt with the shayla, and he advised people not to remove it, and said the Pumfarkeret they should wear that tattoo as a badge of honor. I think the famous thing, I believe, it was the Gera Rebbe who told his Hasidim that they were sad that he was leaving them. He says, where are we going to go for brachas? So the Rebbe said, just find any Jew who rolls up his sleeve when he puts on tefillin and you see his numbers. Go over to him and ask him for a bracha. You know, those tattoos are different. Those tattoos, you know, he felt, Rav Oshrei felt, a person shouldn't remove. I recently heard a story of some really Israeli mafia guy, rough and tough guy, who ended up being visited by the prison Rav. Everyone was afraid of him. And he started teaching about Torah and offered to put on tefillin on him. And the first week he's there, he's putting tefillin on this person. The person rolls up his sleeve. And right there on his forearm, by the makom tefillin, he has a pritza stick. He has an immoral tattoo. And the Rav wasn't really sure what he should do. Should he put tefillin on there or not? Like he paused for a moment, like thinking, like, what should he do? Decided maybe the best thing is Alpha Pekin to put on the phone. He put on the phone. The next couple weeks later, he came back to visit this prisoner. And after learning with them, the prisoner said, please, please, can you put on tefillin? You didn't ask me to put on tefillin. Could be the Rav himself was a little nervous about doing it again, since he remembered what happened last time. So he goes to put on tefillin, and the tattoo is not there. And it seems the prisoner himself removed it. And it's tremendous pain. So, you know, I heard the person telling over the story, you know, which is, it is a beautiful story of showing, you know, how this prisoner was embarrassed. He picked up on the Rav's hesitancy to put tefillin there, and he realized the importance of tefillin. He was embarrassed that he had such a tattoo on his body. And he himself got it off. But halachically speaking, that's not so simple, and it needs a shayla, because that going back and undoing the sirtut, more etching, is not a simple thing. Maybe nowadays with lasers, maybe there are procedures that make it easier, but it all needs a shayla. Now, turning now to the mikvah. We know there are very important halachas of chatzitza in a mikvah. For a person to be yotzi a din mikvah, for a woman, a man, I guess, for geiris where you need it. Person has to be tovel in the mikvah in a way where there's no chatzitza, there's no blockage between their body and the mikvah. And it's brought down la halacha that in order, the iser Torah of a chatzitza is only if you have two conditions. A, that chatzitza has to cover most of your body, which in many cases, the chatzitza is not that big. So most of the time we have chatzitza shaylas, it's a din d'rabbanan. But where it covers most, a rover of your body, that's condition number one. And condition number two, the person has to be makbid to want to remove that thing. So if a person had something on them, which normally they on their body, normally they would remove, so and covers most of their body, that would be an iser d'oraisa of chatzitza, and the tefilas mikvah would not work. Similarly to what we just talked about before, okay? So midrash, you need two things. What happens if you only have one? Which we said is most cases. Most chatzitzas, you know, are not things which are covering the majority of your body. Most things are small things that a person has in them. So midrabanan, just one is aser. And like we said, therefore that does make most chatzitza shailas nowadays, shailas which are midrabanan, which sometimes there's room to be makel, sometimes not. Sometimes, unfortunately, if a person would go to the mikvah and there would be a chatzitza on them, they would have to be ritovel, and it's not a simple matter. Now, before we get to tattoos and whether that is a chatzitza, let's talk about a more basic case for women. Makeup. Is makeup on a woman's body, is that a chatzitza? So, pashtus, one might say, sure, it's a chatzitza. Pashtus a chatzitza. You're going to say, what do you mean? But you told me, right, you don't have, women don't have makeup on most of their body. But what about the fact, so it's not rove. But besides that, we said you have to be makbid to want it removed. But seemingly we have makeup, it's the other way. People want to have it on. So why is it chatzitza at all? So there's two reasons. First of all, anything which is the normal process to remove before you go to a mikvah, then mela that has a din of being makbid on. So it is normal for women to remove makeup, most scenarios, before they go to the mikvah. So that would be a chatzitza. But more than that, is most makeup upon a person dunking in a mikvah, again, with where they're going to go into water and it's going to be ruined. And once a person has their makeup ruined, they don't want to look weird with ruined makeup on. So then they are makbid to remove it. And therefore the poskim say, definitely lechachila, one cannot be tovel with makeup on. There comes to be, you know, tricky shailas, which sometimes there's room for rabbanim to be makel. You know, let's say scenario on Yontif, and where everyone's dressed up, and if a woman totally has no makeup on, it might be nicker, it might be very apparent that she's going to the mikvah, it's embarrassing, there's family around. I saw situations people ask of, you know, a kala. So, okay, there are shailas poskim, shailas to a rav, but most of the time, all Rabbanim will say that you must remove all makeup before one goes to the mikvah, because that would be a chatzitza. Now, what about a tattoo? Is a tattoo, if makeup is a problem, makeup is something, right, which you have in your body. So what would you say is makeup is a tattoo a problem with mikvah? Now, I happen to think it's a pretty, we'll see in a moment, it's a pretty relatively easy shaila. And in fact, most farm I went through in Hilchos Nida do not even discuss the case of tattoos. Makeup they'll talk about, but tattoos, I think, is super poshut. Made for a good title and a share. But let me go through. I think just the principles of why there's no problem with tattoos, that itself is interesting and informative in showing us what a chatzitza is. Firstly, in order for something to be a chatzitza, there has to be a substance on the skin. So even makeup, okay, we could debate. You know, you rub it in, but it's still a substance on top of the skin. That's a chatzitza. Something, though, which is underneath the skin, as we explained, a tattoo is something which is dug in deep under the layers of skin, is injected this pigment and only seen from above. Something like that, yeah, that tattoos would not be something on the surface of a person's body, and thus that would not be a chatzitza. I guess if someone has some type of tattoo patch, which is a fake tattoo, not real, okay, yeah, that's on top of the body, that's a different story. But the bona fide, you know, real tattoos, since it's under the surface, that would not be a chatzitza. Secondly, a tattoo is something which you're doing for beauty. So that's not a case you're makbid to remove it. Perfect care, you want it there. We said the same story by makeup, but by makeup you have the added issue that it gets ruined. But something you're doing for beauty, you don't want to remove, you want it there. Thirdly, besides the fact you're doing it for beauty, and therefore you want that tattoo on your body, but you don't want to remove it because it's very painful. Nobody wants to remove a tattoo. Who wants to go through the process of removing a tattoo? Very, very painful. And therefore, since it's painful, you don't want to remove it. So that's not makbid. That's not an issur d'rabbanan. And thirdly, even if a person wants to remove it, there's such a big process involved in removing it. It's not like the average thing which is on a person's body. They could just flick off. They could just take off. A tattoo needs a whole surgical procedure to undo. So that is not a reason why we would say that a tattoo is not something which is a chatzitza. So therefore, it's clear. This I saw, you know, I said, I think it's Pasha to Moses Poskin. I found this spelled out of Noach Isaac Olbaum, Chashuv Rav from Queens, has a sefer, Chukas Tahora, I put on the bottom of the sheets, where he clearly writes these scenarios that it would be not a problem for both a tattoo, even for permanent makeup. These things a woman has on her, there might be other issues. You shouldn't have it in the first place. But once one has it, it would not be any problem going to the mikveh with these things. Just like to end with an amazing story. I believe it's from Rav Hanach Teller's book, It's a Small World. Heard the story before. That you can imagine one of the most embarrassing spots for a person who's a Baal Tshuva is going to the mikveh. The person goes to the mikveh, usually, for sure in a men's mikveh, there are other people around, and they're going to look at you. They're going to see what you look like. There are many times you see a person with a tattoo. It's like, you know, it's surprising, especially now, they don't look like a biker dude. They look from, they could have a beard, payas, the works. It happens to be they have a tattoo in their body from a past life, a past mistake. Hachtel tells of a story of a Baal Tshuva, one of Yerushalayim's mikvahs, and he had tattoos on his arms, and he would walk in the mikvah trying carefully to like obscure his tattoos, obscure his arms, embarrassed of his old life tattooed to himself. And the person slips, and everyone sees the tattoos. No one knows what to say, an awkward moment. But one older yid looks at him. He says, "I also have a tattoo." Shows his arm, and on his arm are numbers. Numbers from World War II. And the man, the older man, turns to this younger Baal Tshuva and says to him, "There's nothing to be embarrassed of. It seems we've both come a long way. Whether you're a survivor of the Holocaust and still have that tattoo, like Ephraim Ashray said, is a badge of honor, or you're a survivor of the spiritual Holocaust, which is going on in the world today. Person makes a mistake. Even if those mistakes are etched into one's body, but they're not etched into one's soul. And people should realize, you know, having a tattoo might be a statement at the time, but it doesn't have to last with you forever. It's only as much of your mindset of what it is. Be'ezus Hashem, we should see the day that all the Jews from all the four corners of the earth come back. They see a world in turmoil. They see all the craziness in the world. That should inspire people to come closer to Yiddishkeit. And we should all be there like that older gentleman in the mikvah in Yerushalayim to accept those people with open arms. Thank you very much. Hashem, see you all next week.